Today is the Feast of the Transfiguration. It overranks the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, so follow the Mass on August the 6th in your Missal. You'll notice in the bulletin there's a number of things that we have to keep in mind for this coming week. Tomorrow morning, the Mass is at 11:15. That's because Father DeLallo is getting back from Portland a little bit later. So there's no Mass at 7:15 and 8 o'clock. The only Mass here tomorrow is at 11:15. There's also no Vespers tonight because I'm on my way to Winona for the retreat. So we're going to have benediction right after this Mass. So right after Mass today, we'll have benediction, but no Vespers tonight at 5 o'clock. Also, on Wednesday, there will be no running water on the property, so the bathrooms will not be in service, the sinks won't work. Just keep that in mind if you're here on the property on Wednesday, because they're hooking up the water for the new building. Next weekend, Father DeLallo will be here, and there is a wedding. The reason bands have not been announced for that wedding is that the couple is from out of town. They're from a society chapel in the Midwest, and so they're just having their wedding here. But I wanted to just point that out to you, because you're going to, if you come for Rosary in the evening, Friday evening at 6 p.m., there's a wedding rehearsal, and then Saturday there's a wedding here at 11 a.m., but there's also the regular morning Mass at 8 o'clock on Saturday. The young adults gathering is also this coming weekend, and I hope that all of you will keep in mind the Million Rosary Crusade that we're trying to give to the Holy Father, 1 million rosaries by the end of October. So keep track in your own families how many rosaries you said for these intentions. Also, the Catholic Scouts of the parish are going on a camping trip August 12th to the 14th. They've arranged to have three boats, and Joe Nibbler will act as a guide, and they'll be fishing for steelhead on the Willamette River. Everyone should bring their own life vests, fishing gear, and food, additional to other camping equipment. You can call Lucian Blancett for more information. The epistle for today's Mass, the Feast of the Transfiguration, is from St. Peter's second letter. For we have not, by following artificial fables, made known to you the power and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his greatness. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. This voice coming down to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." And this voice we heard brought from heaven when we were with him in the holy mountain. And we have the more firm prophetical word, whereunto you do well to attend as to a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Please stand now for the Holy Gospel, which is from St. Matthew, Chapter 17. At that time Jesus taketh unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter answering said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. And if thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." And the disciples, hearing, fell upon their face and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said to them, "Arise and fear not." And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man till the Son of Man be risen from the dead." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Not by any artificial fables do we make known to you the power and presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his greatness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I know all of you believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, in his divinity, but sometimes we don't really act like we do. It is not something that is foremost in our minds as it should be. And I'm sure it was the same with the apostles 2,000 years ago. Imagine that it's a Sunday afternoon. Peter, James, and John are on a hike with our Lord. And imagine yourself going with them. And you hike up this mountain, and it's a beautiful afternoon. And Jesus is right there with you. You're conversing with him. You're having your lunch with him. You enjoy his company, but to you, perhaps, he is just like a priest. He's a very good man, a very holy man, but you don't think of him as God. And then you reach the top of the mountain, and you're standing up there after your refreshing hike, and you're looking out over all the valley below you and admiring the scenery. And then you turn, and you see our Lord transfigured before you. Now, Jesus should have always been in this state. That is, his divinity should have always been shining forth. And what he did on this mountain was he removed the veil. He didn't even remove the entire veil. He removed part of it. And he showed his apostles some of his glory. And imagine yourself right there with them. This is the same person that you were walking with a few moments ago, that you were conversing with, that you were eating lunch with. It's the same person. And now you realize, perhaps for the first time in your life, that he truly is God. As St. Peter said in the epistle, this is not some fable we're telling you. We were eyewitnesses of this, of his glory. And that's what I would like for all of you to be today. In a certain sense, for you to comprehend truly the divinity of Christ, that he is the Lord God. And imagine Jesus transfigured and his face shining as the sun, his garments as white as snow, which means that the vision was blinding to them. And they sank to their knees. And Peter was overwhelmed by joy at being here. And he said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. He was so happy. Let us stay here always. Suddenly now, all the beautiful scenery that surrounds them, the beautiful afternoon and the valley below, is of no concern to them. All they can say is, we want to stay here always in this sight. And once you, my dear friends, understand what you truly have, who our Lord really is, I hope that you will be the same, that the things of this world will not matter much to you anymore. And you will say, Lord, it is good for us to be here always. That's what we should be praying for today in the Mass. For we might have a real understanding of the divinity of Christ. Imagine that you're going to die in a few days. Just imagine. Doesn't matter if you're only 12 years old. I want you to imagine that in a few days you're going to die. Now, when you are ushered into the heavenly court, which we hope and pray will be the case, right? I want you to consider everything that you will see in the heavenly court. All the beautiful things you're going to see. There will be so many surprises, so much beauty and splendor that you will be in complete awe. You'll say, I never imagined these things. I couldn't ever believe how beautiful it is. I could never have understood it on earth. You'll see the dazzling glory of the angels, all the different choirs of angels. You will see the joy and the happiness of the saints and the incomparable beauty of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But these things you will hardly notice because you will be so overwhelmed by the face-to-face vision of God. He is beauty and perfection itself. And before him, everything else is only a reflection of his glory and his goodness. Even the Blessed Mother, she is but a mere reflection of God's goodness and glory and beauty and power. You will tremble in the divine presence and fall to your knees, as Peter, James, and John did on Mount Tabor. But the reason I wanted to tell you this is because at that moment you will understand for the first time, perhaps, that this same God in all his glory and majesty, in all his brilliance, was your earthly companion all the years of your life. That you had him always on earth. I will be with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. And you'll realize what it was that you were receiving in Holy Communion. And if it were possible, you would kick yourself. I know it won't be possible in heaven to be upset. But what I'm telling you is, you will realize for the first time that you had heaven here on earth. And you will say, why was I always so sad? Why was I always so worried about things? I should have been like Peter on Mount Tabor and said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Whenever I was in his presence, those words should have been on my lips. And you will realize that so many times on earth you were so cold and negligent towards him. And he was right there, the same God was right there before you in the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle. That same God in all his glory and power was the one you received in Holy Communion. You'll realize how many times I wasted my communions. How indifferent I was in celebrating the Holy Mass or receiving Holy Communion. I never realized what I had. And that's what I want you to realize today on this feast day. Ask Jesus in a way to remove somewhat of his veil today to you. That like Peter, James, and John, you might understand who he truly is. That you might realize the majesty of our Lord and Savior. Today after Mass, we have benediction. We'll have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. And I hope all of you will stay. Because I think at exposition of the Holy Eucharist, you realize a little bit better at that moment. I don't know what it is. Maybe in a way God does remove a little of the veil. And you are somewhat in awe before him. But that's how we always should be when we walk into church. To realize what a great thing it is to be here. Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us stay here always. Can I imagine if your 15-year-old said that to you? Mom, I want to stay in the church always. That's a sign of a vocation. Of somebody who is being drawn to the divinity of Christ. Of someone who always wants to dwell with him. To be his special friend like Peter, James, and John. And I hope some of you young people today will have that in your hearts. I want to be here always with him. If the Lord does remove the veil from your eyes today for a few moments, you will be changed forever. It will completely change you because you will realize what the divinity is, what the majesty of God is. Just like when Peter, James, and John were on that mountain and they heard and saw, they saw what the transfiguration, then they heard the voice of the Heavenly Father, a voice that must have been like thunder. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And they were so afraid, the voice of God was so terrifying, that they put their faces to the ground. And they were shivering with fright. And even many, many years later, St. Peter was remembering that moment. That's what today's epistle is. Do you realize that here he is, an elderly man now, many years after the event, but it so completely changed him that he is recalling to mind the most beautiful day that he could ever remember. The day in which he saw the divinity of Christ. He was given a glimpse of heaven. And that's what we pray for today for each one of you. That you will be changed by this feast day. That you will realize who Jesus is. Who the Lord is. That you will tremble before him. But also that you'll realize the greatness of what you have here in the church and what it is that you receive in Holy Communion. Hopefully you will never, ever be the same as you are now. That you will from now on appreciate the presence of God, that you have him as your constant companion here on earth, and that he gives you himself in Holy Communion, in all his glory, in all his power, in all his goodness and greatness, this is what you receive. And so, as I said, reflect on heaven and what you will realize only when you're in heaven, and try to realize it now here on earth, because it is absolutely true, as St. Peter says. This is not some fable. It is not just some story the priest is telling you from the pulpit. This is an eyewitness who is swearing to you. An eyewitness who is swearing to you that this is true. He is the Lord God. Have no doubt about it ever in your life. Don't ever waver in faith. Don't ever worry. You are on the right path. The holy Catholic religion that you practice is the one true faith. Hear ye him. This is the word of the Lord. This is what he came to earth to do, was to establish his church and to preach to you this faith. Don't ever waver in it, says St. Peter. I am an eyewitness of the truth of what I've seen. He is the Lord God, without a doubt. And he is with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.